Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Wherever you are, however you're listening, we don't care. Whenever you're listening, we don't even care about that. We're just glad you're here. Glad you made it. Glad you could show up and spend some time with us and enjoy some of the outstanding words of wisdom from our outstanding Brain Trust members, like our good friend Russell Brown, who's all over my website, by the way. If you go to jbsba.com and you click over there on the Brain Trust, you can find him alphabetically. You can also find him in the section about buying and selling businesses. He's very prominently displayed there and can't be more prominent than on top, because he is our top business buying and selling expert. He's the author of a number of books, including Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. He's our good friend, Russell Brown. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. I'm glad to be back. Always glad to come join you in the morning.
It's good to have you back, as always. And, Russell, we've been talking about some of the things that people get into that you call them finding the skeletons in a business when you're looking into buying a business. And, folks, I'll remind you of something I've said many times before, and that is that even if you're not thinking about buying or selling a business, the things that Russell and I talk about to evaluate this are absolutely essential things for you to think about when you're just running a business, never mind buying or selling it. And Russell does a great job of helping us with that. Russell, I think we're on the M's, aren't we?
Yes. What I've tried to do is put all of these possible skeletons in the closet you ought to be looking for in alphabetical order. And we're up to M now. And in M, we've got the issue of major new competition being planned. You know, if you're considering buying a business, and of course, as you just said, if you're in business, you ought to be worrying about this as well. But certainly, if you're considering buying a business for sale, you really, really want to check out what the competition situation is. As you well know, competition isn't necessarily bad. So, mm-hmm. so we don't want to go just jumping off and saying, well, let's be, just because you've got a fast food franchise that's for sale on a corner of a busy intersection, and you find out that perhaps a different brand is considering putting up a similar type of fast food franchise on the other corner. That doesn't mean that's not really bad.
I actually know a story, Russell, of years ago where there were three furniture stores literally next door to each other, and they were all three doing pretty well. And I knew the owner of one of them, and on the other end of town, other side of town, there were no furniture stores at all. And he thought, you know what, I'll go over there and I'll get that side of the, you know, I'll get the business over on that part of our world over there. He went over there, opened up a store, and it totally bombed.
And what they found out was
that people would park in one of the lots and walk to all three stores. It was like they had their own little mall there, and that kind of competitive environment really was good for all of their businesses. So you're exactly right. It's not always a bad thing, but it is always information that you need to know about, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in fact, just yesterday, driving through a town here in Connecticut, I had just come from a Staples store. And everybody knows what a Staples is. And just down the street from the Staples, there is this empty storefront, very, very large. It looked like several thousand square feet. Mm-hmm. And the name on it was something to do with office supplies, office furniture, and office equipment. And it's gone. It's mm-hmm. out of business. And so therein lies part of the problem. If you're a small operation, and you have a big, what they call big box store or something of that nature going in that sells your product or service, you know, you got to be very, very careful, speaking from an owner's perspective as to how that's going to affect you. But from a buyer's perspective, you really got to ask the question, what is this going to do to this company's past performance over the next, several years?
But at the same time, I am not naive about what you just said and about the challenges that having a big box competitor can be to when it comes in. But at the same time, I refuse to let small business owners be daunted about that, because there are some things you can do about it. And for that consideration, I want to talk about that right after these messages with Russell Brown. When we come back, it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's the great Tony Williams of the Platters to take us out.
Here inside cannot be denied.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Sam Norwood's going to join us, also Jim Donovan, and who else we got? We got a lot more folks who will be joining us coming up tomorrow. Let's see who else we got. Karen Harney with the NFIB is going to be here. Sam Norwood, as I mentioned, he's going to talk to us about what's going on in the economy. Jim Donovan is going to help us get our balancing act in our lives squared away. And Andrea Nuremberg is going to join us. We're going to talk about networking. Right now, we're visiting with our good friend, Mr. Russell Brown, the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale. And also, he's the guy who's created this outstanding software called BizPricer that I'd like for him to tell us about. Russell, tell us about BizPricer.
Well, what I've done is I've taken, I've done business valuations for many years. And what I decided to do is to help small business owners and potential buyers all over and providing them a easy-to-use, accurate piece of software that anybody can use, and it'll get them to the right valuation as a fair market value of a business for sale, and or to put your business up for sale, or to just find out what it's worth for a business owner, and not get you all wrapped around the axle with all the complicated theories and things that can get involved.
Just the facts, ma'am, huh?
Just the facts. Stripped everything away down to the essentials of business valuation, put it in a very low-cost, very affordable valuation package that anybody can use, and I've been offering it for sale now for several years, and it's doing extremely well. And I'd invite any of your listeners to take a look at it on my website and consider it.
Give us that website again, please.
BusinessBookPress.com.
All right, check that out, folks, when you get a chance. And if you can, when you order that BizPricer, see if he won't give you a discount on one of these books. Tell him I sent you. I think he probably will.
Yep.
Russell, we're talking about buying a business that might have a major new competitor planned. Number one, we've got to find out what's going on out there. I mean, we don't need to be worried initially about what to deal with, about dealing with the reality. We got to find out what's going on. And shouldn't we always assume that there's something like that going on?
Yeah.
Even if the seller doesn't know about it, we got to prepare for that contingency, don't we?
Sure. From a seller's perspective, is operating a business, yes, you've always got to think of it. And as a potential buyer looking into doing your due diligence, you absolutely have to know what is down the stream for this business, because that's what you're buying, a future stream of earnings. And if there's some threat to that future stream of earnings, you need to know that and make your own assessment of how that affects whether you even want to buy this business.
Well, and you know, Russell, in the old days, back when you and I were young pups coming up, you could kind of just walk up on a little bit of a knoll and look around and see all your competitors, and there was really no big surprises in where your next competitor is coming from. I mean, it was one of the easiest things to do was to tell who your competition was. In the 21st century, that's not true anymore, is it?
No, it isn't. A lot of smaller types of businesses that we were familiar with have begun, larger companies have created these mega stores that have taken those kinds of sales away and focused them in these huge stores that can offer much deeper discounting and selection and so on. We're all aware of that. But
Russell, let's talk about that the opportunity inside of what you just said.
Okay.
Because I think there's a tremendous opportunity. Let's say that somebody has a business for sale, and they have been intimidated by the big boxes, and they're ready to sell. They don't want to take it on. Maybe they're just too, you know, they're too tired, and they're ready to retire, and they're ready to move on. But they realize that they've got some real exposure from this, from these big box companies, and so you might have the opportunity to buy that business at a at an extremely good price, but it will only benefit you if you understand that what the big box companies are doing is they're taking the business that small business probably didn't need anyway. By that, Russell, I'm talking about what I've been talking about for a long time now. You probably heard me say this: is big businesses need to give people what they need. Small business need to give people what they want.
You're absolutely right, and as a small business advocate, you preach that, and I know that you are right about that in many cases. But from a buyer's perspective of buying an existing business, I would counsel them to be very, very careful in taking on something with that kind of a future that's going to take a lot of skill, a lot of savvy.
And you have to understand what's happening. You have to think in a 21st century way. But notice, Russell, the first thing I said was you got to be able to buy that business right, with the understanding that as it was run in the 20th century, it has much less value as it sits there without having a 21st century model.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, as a buyer, you can use the fact of this impending competition as a bargaining chip, to, as you say, to get the mm-hmm. to get a much better price for yourself. But you got to make sure that you really want the business, that you have a plan on how you're going to get there, how you're going to deal with the competition when it becomes a reality, something that makes sense.
You know, Russell, we got to go to a break here. But the thing is, the reason I know I'm right is because there have been big box companies for years who sell things cheaper than you can buy them, and yet small businesses thrive. It's not a matter of whether you can do it or not, whether it can be done or not, folks. It's a matter of whether you can do it. Tin Till will be right back with Russell Brown after these messages.
It'll take time, I know it, but in a while.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Russell Brown is our guest. And, folks, I encourage you to do yourself a favor and go to Russell's website, businessbookpress.com. And in addition to all the things that he has there for sale, his books and his outstanding BizPricer, there's also some free information there. And I've benefited from it myself. And, Russell, I want to thank you for making all the articles and the tips and everything available.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jim. I'm happy to help people.
If you're going to buy a business or sell a business, you need to know what Russ has to say about this. If you want to run a business successfully, everything that Russell says will help you do that, and I encourage you to check that out at businessbookpress.com. Okay, Russell. Folks, it might sound like Russell and I are at daggers drawn here on this thing about whether to buy a business when there's a big box competitor. And Russell, everything that you're saying is the right thing. You're saying be very cautious if you know that there's a big box competitor there or about to come in. Be very cautious about any business you buy. But Russell, here's my point. When are we ever going? If you follow that rule too strictly, you'll never buy a business because there are always going to be those big box companies out there.
Well, that's not exactly true. I mean,
what?
Not every industry has a big box competitor. I mean, you know, there is always competition. We've talked about how competition does help businesses.
But what if I don't know the industries that don't have big box companies? I know the retail business, or I know the steak business, or the tire business, or whatever it is. That's the business I want to be in.
Well, that's fine. All I'm saying is, if you're going to do that, if you're going to take on a business that you know has a big box competitor in the area or is coming, I just say be absolutely sure, not only as you know everything about the business, but you have a very solid, very aggressive, very viable plan to address that competition, specifically address it. How are you going to deal with that, and how you intend to not only keep the business at the same profitability of which you purchase it, but how do you grow that business mm-hmm. over the years? If you can answer that with a sensible plan, a sensible approach, then perhaps you should go ahead and proceed, especially if you've got the superior knowledge in this field and you really got, say, some new idea or new approach or maybe just good old-fashioned service or offering products that aren't normally handled by the bigger competition. But whatever it is. But
well, you know, Russell,
will jump into things without that.
Now you're exactly right about that, and you cannot be naive. And in fact, if you could also go so far as to say you can't be stupid about these things. But the thing is, Russell, is that if you said to me, Jim, I got this guy who's thinking about opening up this store, and he's going to buy this business, and there's a big box competitor coming in just around the corner. You know, what would you do? I would say, okay, I want to talk to this person, and I want to see where their head is. I want to see where their thinking is. Have we wrested the last vestige of 20th century thinking from their head, and are they really capable of thinking about the realities of the 21st century, which is that forget the big box companies, what about the internet?
Oh, of course.
You know, I mean, that's my point. The biggest box of the history of mankind is in the airwaves. It's not even on a corner. So there's always that going on, and so I guess the reason my point, Russ, is if we were going to let those things intimidate us, we would never go into business. The key is we can't be stupid about it. We can't be naive about it. We can't be uninformed, and we've got to think in a 21st century way.
Right, absolutely. And there's even some more just very basic things. And I'm just thinking of an example of a company I just dealt with the other day. It's a floor covering operation. And what they've done, they're small, but there are a certain number of people who don't want to go to the big floor covering types of operations, the big box companies that offer that kind of stuff in bulk. And
mm-hmm.
They just don't want to deal with that. But here's the key. This company, this small company, is flourishing. And the reason is they tied in with the big box company.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they're subcontracting out installations.
They made the competitor their partner, didn't they?
Absolutely.
And it's
gorgeous.
That is genius.
It's genius. They're making money hand over fist.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, folks, how many times have you heard me say this? When you see a big competitor, don't see a competitor, see a partner.
There you go.
That's the key, isn't it, Russell?
Yes, absolutely.
Now that is 21st century thinking. Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, businessbookpress.com. Thanks, Russ. See you next time.
Very welcome.
We'll see you later. Have a happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.